So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to my podcast. I'm your host, Betty. Today, we're going to be talking about Outlander Season 1, Episode 3, The Way Out. But before we get into all of that, there's a couple of things in my last podcast that I missed or that I didn't address. So the first thing, y'all may have noticed that there's no water in the background. That may or may not be permanent. I'm trying to figure out how to fix all that. So anyway, I just wanted to address that because I made such a big deal in it with the last episode. So anyway, and then the other thing, these episodes being so choppy, y'all are going to have to be patient with me. I'm still learning this software. And every time there's a chop or a blip in this episode or in any of the episodes, it's because I goofed. And actually, while recording this, it's noticeable because I haven't played it back yet, but y'all may have probably already noticed that there's already some chops. So yeah, that it's a blooper when it's choppy. Maybe someday I'll keep those in, or not keep them in, of course, but I'll save them and I'll upload my bloopers so y'all can have a good laugh on my expense. Okay, that would be great. So another thing y'all probably noticed, I am getting these episodes out fast, and I didn't write any notes on this, so I'm probably going to be messing up a lot here, but y'all probably noticed I've been trying to, you know, instead of doing one a week or, you know, two a week or whatever, I'm trying to get this Outlander done. Not because I don't like it or I don't want to do it. I just want to get it out there because there's a lot of ground to cover with this show. I mean, we're already in the fifth season and I'm just now covering the first season. What I think I'm going to do going forward, I'll probably keep going like I'm going. And once I get to the last episode of season one, I'm going to take a break from Outlander, which kind of sounds weird, but I want to get other content. You know, I want to get other subjects going. And I think that'll help me attract more listeners. Not that I don't love the Outlander community. I do. I love you. I love y'all guys, but I want to grow my audience. I'm trying to get a bigger listening fan base, and you know, it's going to be, I've said this before when I even started this podcast, that I didn't want this to be a Outlander-centric podcast, and so I need to get it out there to other listeners. I mean, and you know, I'm going to be taking polls or something on my Facebook group that I hope y'all are following. I'll still talk about subjects that y'all want to hear. So probably when I get closer to the end of Outlander season one, I'll put something up. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more at the end of this episode because I have an idea that I want to do, but it's part of my news segment, so I'm going to wait to get more deep into that when we get there. So anyway, back to the subject of Outlander, the actual episode, not my podcast episode, but the episode, Outlander episode, that I talked about yesterday, there was one thing that one scene really that I didn't talk about, and it's an important one. So what happened in this scene was that Dougal and Claire, the whole hallway exchange, I forgot to bring that up. And it's so, I was talking about how Claire was, you know, getting herself into trouble and stuff. That's the actual big scene that she probably really got herself in trouble. She told Dougal that she was leaving, and that's probably where he turned around and told Colum, you know, I don't think you should let this woman leave because I think she's a spy or there's something about her. So, yeah, that's probably the moment that that they decided not to let her leave. And Claire was getting herself into trouble without even realizing it, really. till it was too late. So yeah, that was a big scene that I totally forgot to discuss, and that's my fault because I don't take notes on the actual episode. I try to just do from memory because I think I've said this before. I'm not sure if I did, but I can't take notes and watch the episode at the same time. So I probably miss things, you know. I probably will forget things from time to time. I think I've already talked about this, so I'm not going to really go into it. So, but yeah, that's why I do these little discussions before I get into the episode, the current episode, because, you know, something I've missed on the first episode, I'll come back and talk about on the next episode. So, pretty sure y'all already knew that. I think I explained that before, so we're not going to, I shouldn't be talking about that right now. So anyway, I got the synopsis right here for the current episode that we're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. Claire works diligently as the McKenzie clan's healer, hoping to gain their trust and perhaps be set free. When Miss Fitz's nephew falls ill, the locals believe it's demonic possession. Claire visits him to see if she can help. She comes into conflict with Father Bane, who has been performing an exorcism to rid the boy of his evil spirits. When she determines that the boy has been poisoned, she administers a cure, but also makes an enemy of the priest. With visiting Galus in the village, Claire learns how thieves are dealt with. Just as she begins to feel there is no hope of ever returning to her husband, she hears a folk tale that describes exactly what has happened to her. Okay, so this episode opens up with Frank and Claire. Claire's going off to the war, and Frank's, you know, having to say goodbye to her, and he's saying how it's backwards and everything, and, you know, that must have been really hard for Frank to have to say goodbye to her like that. I'm sure it's hard for anybody to have to say goodbye to their loved ones that have to go off to war. So, but anyway, that's that scene, and then we go into Claire getting dressed, you know, Miss Fitz helping her and everything, and she has that daydream of telling Miss Fitz of where she came from, and asking for help from Miss Fitz, and Miss Fitz not really taking it well, but come find out she was just, you know, in a daydream, you know, it didn't really happen. Myself personally, if she would have actually confided with Miss Fitz, maybe, I don't know, maybe Miss Fitz still would have had the same type of reaction what Claire was imagining, but I don't think, I mean, she probably would have had some kind of reaction, like I said, but I don't think it would have been as harsh as Claire expects. Miss Fitz, later on in the episode, of course, we'll find out that Miss Fitz is actually on Claire's side to do things that she needs to do. But at the same time, Miss Fitz is Scottish, and they have their superstitions and stuff. So, yeah, you know, maybe a little bit. But I don't think she would have reacted that harshly. So I think the next scene is when Claire is trying to make a good impression on the clan, you know, trying to learn all the, she's going through the Beaten. I forget what his full name is, but anyway, she's going through his medicines and things to learn, or to see if there's anything that would be helpful to her, and she's trying to make a good impression with Dougal and call him, you know, maybe so they'll let her leave. And so she's got Angus following her this time instead of Rupert, and she goes into the kitchen and finds out about the little boy that died the night before from illness, you know, or from being possessed by a demon. And so, you know, she was wondering why nobody called her, and they tell her, you know, and why, you know, because of the that place that they feel like it's a cursed place, you know. So She meets Misfits' nephew, Thomas, I believe his name was. So that's the first introduction she gets to that little boy. But he's here to fetch her to go help Colm with his pains and stuff, give him a massage and stuff. And so she goes, and the tailor is making Colm a coat. And, Colm's a proud man, and he's not, he's not ashamed of his legs, they're who he is. And but the tailor thinks that he should want to hide them, and so he tells that coat tailor, if you don't do what I, if you don't make me a coat that's proper, you're gonna be dealt with, he basically threatens him, So the tailor leaves, and then Claire is there, and Colm starts stripping, and she's like, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do here," I mean, well, she's a little nervous because, I mean, I would be scared too. So he gets on the bed, and he explains what he wants her to do. He wants her to give him a massage and thing. And things, and I don't know, maybe Claire was aware that she was supposed to do that, I'm not sure. But she tells him, instead of rubbing his legs, that she should probably massage his lower back, and she does a good job because it makes him feel way better. And he then invites her to be his guest at the singing that happens before the gathering with the Baird. And so she goes to that, and she's standing up against the wall, and Dougal comes by and talks to her, and makes her feel awkward and weird. And she goes and finds a better seat, and she sits next to Leary, and they get to talking. And Leary, confesses that she likes Jamie, and because Jamie walks in, and Claire notices, that she probably likes him. And Claire tries to help Leary, with Jamie, but Leary already knows that Jamie likes somebody else, and we already know who that is too. I mean, even I think even Leary knows that Jamie likes Claire. And so he sits down with Claire and Leary there in the middle, and Claire's trying to help a little with getting him to notice Leary, but he's not even he doesn't even see her. She's like non-existent, especially when it's Claire sitting on the other side of him. So Jamie notices Claire is drinking some of Colm's Rhenish, and she offers him a sip, but he asks her, I think he asks her how much has she drank, and she confesses that she's had about 3 glasses. And that shocks Jamie because, most people that try to drink with Colm, he drinks them under the table. They can't get that far. So he has, he senses that she may be a little intoxicated, so he escorts her out of the hall, and they go back to her surgery. And or well, he makes up the excuse, I think, so that not to stir gossip, that his bandages are chafing him, so he needs her to help him change those. So but anyway, yeah, he escorts her back to her surgery or her room. I guess that's where she's staying now. And he they have their little exchange, their chemistry and all that. Before I get too ahead of myself, I want to go back to the music in this show, okay? And in this scene, it's great. But the show, period. I want to give a shout out to Bear McCreary. He is awesome. He is just a genius. He does a lot of shows. He did The Walking Dead's theme song, I think, and he did The name of the show escapes me, but Ronald D. Moore was involved with it. It was a space show, but yeah, and now he's doing this show, and he's just a genius. So anyway, props to Bear McCreary, and but anyway, back to where we are with Claire and Jamie and her surgery. You know, they have their little moments. You know, their flirtatious moments, and you know, and she tells him she's in charge because you know because she says that, you know, if it was bothering you so much, you know, I could have helped, you know, and he's like, I wouldn't dream of it. But, and then he confesses that, because she said that she would have helped him the day before when, or the one day when she took him to lunch, you know, and stuff. And he said that he wouldn't have done that in front of, oh, the little guy's name is escaping me, but his little boss out there, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But anyway, this is why I should probably take notes. But anyway, it'll come to me. We'll probably discuss it on the next episode. It'll come to me and I'll remember who that is. Anyways, but what we really learned from this scene is that Jamie has a lot of trust in Claire. Like, he doesn't feel ashamed with his scars like he would with anybody else. But that's because Claire doesn't make him feel bad about it. So, you know, they have a real connection, you know, even now, even before, you know, the love story even starts. I mean, it's happening, you know, it's already happening, and, they have the great, you know, they have great chemistry, and, throughout this whole episode, Jamie does a lot for her. You know, he sticks his neck out a lot. I mean, you know, he helps her with the little boy nailed to the pillory. And, you know, when Galus is questioning her and she doesn't want to answer all these questions, Jamie helps come up with an excuse to get her out of there. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because we're still inside the surgery. But Claire does end up checking Jamie's wound there, and they have that, is it hot in here moment, you know. But Jamie leaves, and the next day, she goes and meets Galus in the gardens, and they pick herbs and stuff and talk about the little boy, Mrs. Fitz's nephew, Thomas, having come down with the same illness that the boy the night before died of. And Claire, or Galus, mentions that Father Bane is going to do an exorcism on the little boy, and Claire, you know, is like, you know, not into it, you know. But I think, honestly, I think Galus brought all of this up because, spoiler alert for future episodes, okay, Galus is from the future, and she's trying to get this information out of Claire. But, you know, if you're fresh on this episode, you may not see it, but because when I first watched it for the first time, I didn't see any of this. You know, I actually thought Galus was an interesting character. You know, I thought, you know, she was going to be a good friend to Claire. But, yeah. So, if you've seen it as many times as I have, you know that this is what Galus is actually doing. She's trying to get Claire to confess where she's from. And I don't know if maybe that's Galus, you know, wanting to have companionship, or I don't even really know what Galus is up to. So, but there's no telling with that woman, okay? They have the whole exchange about Claire, maybe, you know, neither one of them should go near the boy and mess with this, because, you know, you start messing with people's beliefs, and you know, that's probably good advice, but it's coming from Galus, I don't know. But anyway, so Claire doesn't listen. She goes to see the boy anyways, and she's there, and she actually determines that the boy has been poisoned. But nobody will let her do what she needs to do. And Father Bane shows up, and this guy, oh my God, this guy, he, you know, doesn't, well, he, you know, he is who he is. And, he makes, you know, well, Miss Fitz tells Claire to leave because, you know, he's there, and I guess, you know, I'm not sure at this point what Mrs. Fitz, I think she just needed Claire to leave because she didn't want Claire to get in trouble. And so anyway, so Claire leaves, and she's back at the castle, and her and Angus are walking down the hallway. And by the way, Angus, let's talk about him for a second. I love him. He is so quirky and funny, and, you know, he is the, him and Rupert are the comic relief in this show. So anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out to Angus. So anyway, back to, Angus tells her to stay put, you know, because he's going to go and check on, because Rupert's being lazy, and he goes into the kitchen. He just wants to go get drunk with Rupert, you know. But anyway, he tells Claire to sit, and she's sitting there waiting for him, and she sees Jamie and Leary kissing, and she gets a little jealous. So the next time you see her, the next scene, I think, they're at the dining hall and they're eating, and she teases Jamie about being thumped by a horse and, you know, being maybe kicked by a filly. And, you know, Jamie's like underneath the table trying to silence Claire by putting his foot on top of hers because, you know, he doesn't want her to tell people that he was, you know, doing what he was doing with Leary. And he spills his drink on Murdaugh, and so Jamie leaves, and Murdaugh has talks with her, a talk with Claire about Leary always being will always be a girl till she's 50, but what Jamie needs is a woman. And I'm going to take a minute right here and talk about Murdaugh. We all need a Murdaugh in our life. He is the best character on this show. Supporting actor character on this show, hands down. He saved Claire from Black Jack Randall. He brought her to the cottage. You know, he is why we have Claire in this story. He's why Claire is with these specific Highlanders, you know. So, I mean, you may as well say, because spoiler alert in future episodes, he brought Jamie a wife. So, but anyway, that's a tangent. So, but anyway, back to this discussion, you know, and it, right here where they're talking, they're actually talking about Jamie needs a woman, you know, and you can, you know, the difference between a girl and a woman, you know. He's talking about Claire being the difference between her, you know, what Jamie needs and what, you know, and what Leary, I keep calling her Leary. I am so sorry. But anyway, it's hard to pronounce her name. It's hard to spell it. This is a kind of a funny thing. When I'm typing her name out, most of the time I'll call her leg hair, you know, and, it'll make sense why nobody likes her in the future, but right now I'm not going to talk about that. So anyways, it's back to Murdaugh and Claire's conversation. Like I said, you know, he's telling her that Jamie needs a woman, and Claire, you know, but Claire, after all that exchange, she feels bad for the way she teased Jamie. And she says in her head that it was because, you know, she was missing Frank. And that's probably true. I'm not sure. But there's a part of me that also knows that I think Claire was truly jealous. Wanting to be in Leary's place while they were kissing. She wants to be with Jamie. We all know this. Or it's building up to that. It's a slow burn to it. And I love slow burns, by the way. I read romance books. And by the way, I also want to say that I read the book, so I'm not in this blind. I haven't read book 6. So I've read all of the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but I haven't read book 6. So I'm not, you know, I am a book reader, so I don't know if anybody knew that. I just wanted to let y'all know. But anyway, that doesn't matter, you know, because we're not talking about the books. We're talking about the show. But the books are important, so we'll probably, get into that later, you know, when I run out of stuff to talk about on the show. But anyway, that was another tangent I went down. So after that scene with Murdaugh, Claire goes out on the balcony and she's crying, and Dougal sees her and asks her if she's all right, and she, of course, you know, I don't remember what her response was, but she says she's all right, I think. And he offers to take her in the morning to see Galus Duncan, and so that's the next scene we see is them going to see Galus, and her and Galus start talking about Father Bane, and of course, Galus questions Claire about, you know, more questions, you know, to Claire, trying to get information out of Claire, you know, where she's from and all this and all. And then they hear a ruckus going on outside, where the little boy has probably thieved something, and he's going to get his hand chopped off. And so the Galus's husband, I think at that point, comes in because he's flatulent, and that's a wow, you know, guys. And so of course Galus has to convince her husband, or well, Claire tries to get Galus to talk her husband into not giving that punishment, you know. So he decides to nail the boy's ear to the pillory for an hour. And so then Galus starts again questioning Claire about her childhood and everything, you know, in the next scene. And then Jaime comes to get Claire, and before, you know, Galus offers Jaime some port to stay and listen to Claire's story about her childhood, and Claire doesn't want to stay. And again, this is, you know, Jaime bails Claire out of this situation, and so he helps her get out of that. And then they're going outside, they're going out to the horses, and Claire wonders, you know, how long does the little boy have to stay there? And Jaime tells her, of course, that his hour is over. All he has to do is rip his ear from the nail, which is, oh my gosh, it's barbaric. But anyway, and so again, Claire gets Jaime to help her free the little boy from the pillory. And again, Jaime is, you know, like I said, he's risking his... He's helping Claire so much throughout this whole episode. And, you know, it's kind of risky in this time and age, you know, because, you know, people, they don't take kindly to you doing things. You know, back then you could be punished just for, you know, sneezing the wrong way, you know. But anyway, that's probably an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so she, and then she asks him to take her to the kirkyard, and so she can find out what's poisoning Thomas, Mrs. Fitz's nephew. So they go over there, and again, you know, they have exchanges through that kirkyard, and Jaime tells her about a little bit about his upbringing and about his childhood, and how he has tutors, or he had tutors, you know. So he's not as maybe he is superstitious, you know, he's Scottish, but he's maybe not as extreme as some other people are in this time period. So and then of course Claire finds out what is poisoning the little boy, and she figures out that it is Lily of the Valley. And of course she slips up and calls Prussia Germany, which, you know, I found out that was actually a goof. Jaime would have known what she was talking about when she said Germany. But anyway, even though Prussia wasn't named Germany until the 1900s, they still knew Germany in that time area, I think. It's a goof. On IMDb, go look it up. I read that. So, because I was trying to find the trivia, you know, when I do trivia, and they only had one trivia tonight, so, or in that that thing, so we're gonna only have one trivia tonight. And anyways, back to the episode. They go and Claire tries to help the little boy, and Father Bane, of course, shows up again, and you know, he doesn't like her being there, but Mrs. Fitz steps up and puts Father Bane in his place, because, you know, this is her family's home, and, you know, and she has a say, because it used to be her father's house, and so she lets Claire do what she needs to do to save the boy. And of course, you know, Claire was scared that she might not have saved the boy, that she could have given him too much or not enough or misdiagnosed. So, but the little boy ends up living. I mean, you know, she did good. And so when they go back to the castle, her and Jamie are out there having their little exchange about all the superstitions and things. Or, you know, she says that she thinks that Father Bane would probably have rather the little boy died rather than let her help him. And you know, Jamie tells her that, you know, Father Bane probably would have rather the boy died, because his beliefs were in question about that moment. So, and, you know, and Claire's agrees with him, you know, that probably, I mean, I don't know how much she agrees, but yeah, she understands, you know, because, you know, if you get your beliefs in question, are questioned, and you're made a fool of, then yeah, you'd probably be upset. So, and then Jamie tells her that Mrs. Fitz is calling her the miracle worker, and Colum is taking credit for Claire saving the boy, and Claire realizes she'll probably never get out of there, and you can see the disappointment in Jamie's eyes. He don't want her to leave, but Claire wants to leave, but he don't want her to leave. And so the next scene is the music again. She's just gone in there because she feels like she's trapped again, you know, the same way she felt kind of at the beginning of the episode. She's feeling it again at the end of the episode. She comes in to the Great Hall to listen to the music, but the only reason why she's there is to have the escape with Colum's Rhenish. And Jamie sees her come in and flags her over there to sit with him, and so he starts translating the song that's playing, and it come to find out it's the kind of story of what happened to her. So it gives her a new hope. So by the end of the very end of the episode, she actually is, she has new hope that she can get out of this place, and Jamie doesn't really realize what he's giving her, you know, information. So yeah, that was the end of the episode. I think I covered everything. I don't know if I have, you know, general thoughts on the episode as a whole. Maybe, the scenery and stuff is beautiful. Like some of the sets, that Kirkyard was gorgeous. And you know, the sets, you know, the village and stuff, we were that poor little boy, the graphics in this episode, like we got a better view of Colum's legs. Of course, we also got another, a view of something else we didn't really want to see, but that's, you know, so anyway, but that's going to probably wrap up this episode. Stay tuned for trivia. So, like I said earlier, I only have the one piece of trivia for this episode. So, it says, during the evening, just as Claire and Jamie are leaving the dining hall, Gary Owen, is performed. It was an 18th century drinking song that later became popular in the British Army through the 5th Regiment of Dragoons. Later, it became the marching tune for the American 7th Cavalry Regiment when General George Armstrong Custer was in charge. Lyrics later added to the tune, "We can dare or we can do, united men and brothers too. Their gallant footsteps to pursue and change our country's story." So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. And remember, I said the music in this episode is just phenomenal. The music in the whole series is phenomenal. So yeah, anyways, stay tuned for the news. So I don't have a lot of news for y'all tonight, probably because really y'all know more than I do at this point. There's really not anything going on because they're on hiatus. But I do have some information I want to share. Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish, they have a show on Starz called Men in Kilts. If you're not watching it, you should be, because I've only watched the first episode, but I'm going to get into it because the reason I've only watched the first episode is because I'm watching it with my sister, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to start watching it pretty soon. It comes on every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time. A little information on it. It says actor Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish explore their homeland of Scotland, delving into its culture and history. They also have a book called Clanlands, and if you get the audio version, they read it to you. So that's pretty cool. And so I know I mentioned earlier in the episode that I was going to talk about some plans that I had for the future of the podcast. When I finish season one of Outlander, I want to, if y'all are willing to listen to me rant on about this show, I want to segue into this show after season one. If y'all want to listen to something else, then that's cool too. But I thought that this would be a good way to keep, you know, Outlander going, maybe to help please some of my listeners that have already tuned in to listen to Outlander. This way, you know, we can keep it interesting, get into a show that's actually going on. And like I said, in the group, I don't know if y'all aren't following my group. It is www.facebook.com/groups/talking about fun things. So yeah, just to, you know, keep it interesting for all the listeners that tuned in to actually listen to stuff about Outlander, I felt like this would be something good to bring in new material. So that's my plan. But if we don't want to do that, I am open to suggestions. You know, whatever y'all want to do. So, but that's what I thought we could try to do. I guess there's nothing else in the news, so y'all stay tuned for listener feedback. So before I jump into feedback, there is a couple things that I want to address. One of them being, on my first episode, I totally goofed. I accidentally did something that I shouldn't have, and I have since taken that episode down, and I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to go into what exactly I did to draw attention to it, but just know that I've taken it down. The other thing that I want to talk about is, it's occurred to me that y'all may not know exactly what to say in feedback. So what I've done is, or what I'm going to do in my group, which I've left the information in the news segment, is that I'm going to post a set of questions to get the conversation going. You don't have to answer the questions if you don't want to. You don't even have to leave me feedback if you don't want to. But I thought it would be helpful to kind of give y'all something to maybe get, you know, help y'all jog y'all's memory about the episode or get the conversation going. So I'm going to do that. And when you do leave me feedback, if y'all want to remain anonymous, just let me know in your comments or in your feedback to me, and I won't mention your name. That was my goof, and since I've taken it down, I feel comfortable with telling y'all that I did that. So anyway, that's all of the issues I wanted to address. I apologize to the four ladies that were in the feedback section of my first episode. So yeah, let's jump right into the feedback now. So Robin, my sister, was kind enough to give me her thoughts on the episode. Well, actually, she answered my questions. I put a series of questions in the group, like I mentioned before. She said, my thoughts on episode on the episode, I think Mrs. Fitz would have reacted to Claire the way Claire imagined. She felt bad for Leary, because she didn't know anything in future episodes. Some things about Galus she didn't know, what Galus was up to. She just thought Galus was a friend and curious about Claire. She said she didn't like Father Bane. She said Claire was probably a tad more jealous of Jamie and Leary's kissing than Claire let on, because, well, Jamie is hot. She said Jamie and Claire have good chemistry because the actors Sam and Kate are good. She said she loves Miss Fitz. She discovered the show Outlander from me. I'm her sister, and her favorite characters so far are Jamie and Claire, and she's a show watcher, not really a book reader. Although I think she has read Voyager. I'll have to double check that. But anyway, that was all the feedback I got. So that's going to be the end of this episode. It's already going on pretty long, so I probably should wrap this up. I have created a Twitter account and an email address, and like I said, I'm on the Facebook group, so you can find me there at, the Twitter is at Talking About Fun Things. The email is talkingaboutfunthings@yahoo.com, and of course the Facebook is facebook.com/groups/talkingaboutfunthings. So good night, everybody.